This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to a special edition of Motive and Method. I'm Dr. Xanthi Mallett.
And I'm Tim Watson Munro.
Tim and I wanted to bring this episode to you as quickly as possible because on Saturday the 13th of April, an individual undertook a knife attack at Bondi Westfield. And this is obviously huge news. We don't have many mass murders. Sadly, five people have so far died at the scene and then a sixth in hospital later. And so this is a very unusual event. And Tim and I thought that this very much justified a special edition. So we're going to bring you a quick roundup of what happened, what we know about the offender so far, and where we think the investigation will go. So, Tim, what do we know so far about the attack and how everything unfolded and who was involved in that?
My reading, it unfolded very quickly. The now deceased offender went into the Westfield Shopping Plaza at Bondi. He scoped the place. As far as we know, he left. He came back a short time later, armed with a knife, and then started randomly stabbing people. The significant thing, Xanth, is this, that five of the six deceased were women. My view is that he was targeting women. There was misogyny involved. There's been some suggestion that he may have been diagnosed with schizophrenia. And in other interviews I've done today, I've raised the ongoing issue of badness versus madness. It would seem that perhaps there's a bit of both here, but not totally florid, not sufficiently out of touch with reality that he didn't have an intention. He knew what he was doing. He was able to avoid men who may have been able to bring him down. It may well be the case that he was schizophrenic, and it may be the case because he'd moved from Queensland, as I understand it, that he was under or not medicated and not having appropriate treatment. But just a shocking crime, and another one involving the tragic and needless death of women, including the attack on a baby in a pram. Doesn't get worse.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And he's actually been named today, so Sunday the 14th of April, as 40-year-old man Joel Cauchy, as you said, from Queensland. Allegedly, he moved down to New South Wales last month, I believe, and has been living rough since then. There's some reports that he may be an English tutor, I believe, at one of the Queensland, or was an English tutor at one of the Queensland's universities. Obviously, we're going to learn more about that individual going forward. But what struck me about the videos that have come out, and there have been quite a few already, imagine how much CCTV and footage from mobile phones there would be of this event as it unfolded. Thousands of people would have been at Bondi Westfield yesterday, very busy Saturday afternoon in autumn. What struck me about the videos is one particularly where he kind of comes around the corner from the food courts and rushes towards one man who runs off. And walking towards the camera, there's a family, there's a woman with maybe three children and a man walking slightly behind, who's obviously, you know, the adult male with that family. He notices what's going on. Then the accused rushes towards him with a knife and he stands his ground. And that was really interesting because when he stood his ground, the offender then deviated. So he didn't progress. He didn't go up to him. And I think you're absolutely right. I think he may well have been suffering from a mental health condition, but he was making decisions. He took the knife intentionally. He went to a very busy place and he targeted people he felt were more vulnerable. And if somebody stood their ground, he moved on.
So I've seen the footage. It's very troubling. The other thing that's worth saying is there's so many heroes in this tragedy. There's the policewoman who shot him, a remarkable act of courage and level-headedness, I would suggest. There was the man on the elevator with the, it was an escalator, not an elevator, with a bollard. There were other people assisting the policewoman carrying chairs. And someone made the very astute comment, one bad person, but look at the goodness that this brought out at the time in terms of the unsung heroes of Bondi Junction yesterday. But I totally agree with you. It's he wasn't floridly crazy. He was living rough. He may have been disenfranchised and angry, unmedicated, maybe, you know, percolating psychosis, but not to the point, from what I've observed and what I've read, that he was unaware of what he wanted to do, and he did it with deadly effect.
I don't think there's any accident he chose somewhere so busy as well on a Saturday. I think he was fully intentful from what I've seen. And obviously more will come out as the investigation, and that's going to be a very long investigation over the weeks and months to come. But yeah, those heroes, I think, are really important. That obviously she was a policewoman and inspector. She has now been classed as, you know, a hero. If she hadn't reacted as quickly and as calmly as she did, you know, she went in there on her own. She didn't know what she was facing. She didn't know how many offenders they were. She didn't know what weapons they had. She had no idea what the risk was. And she obviously shot him when he charged at her with a knife and then offered him CPR. So she did exactly what she should have done. And everyone is commending her for her bravery, because I'm sure if she hadn't acted as she did, there would have been more people injured or possibly killed. So, you know, hats off to her, and I hope she gets all the accolades she deserves.
Absolutely. Too often police are criticised, but then in crises like these, we realise how invaluable they are.
Who do we call when we're in trouble and we're in danger?
I read, unconfirmed, that you in fact ran 300 metres from the Waverley police station to the shopping centre. A remarkable act of heroism, and inevitably her actions saved the lives of many, as did some of the other heroes that I've mentioned.
But not just the active heroes, the ones who helped the people who were injured. You know, there were reports that the baby that was stabbed with her mother, the mother handed the baby over to a couple of strangers to try and offer the baby first aid. You know, people were putting themselves at risk. Coming out, actually, one man came out from one of the barricaded shops to help somebody who was injured. They were literally putting themselves at risk to help these victims of this awful attack. But there were also the people in the stores who locked the doors, who helped people out, you know, the exits. So those quiet heroes who may not be, you know, out there, you know, protecting people overtly, but may have saved a great many lives and certainly protected them. So I think, you know, and many of those would have been very young working in these stores, and everyone, you know, they may have been under a lot of stress and panicking, but what they did and how they acted in that moment saved lives.
The other thing that interested me, and that's quite correct, was the amount of training that these people have undergone in the past to cope with a situation such as this. We always hope it'll never happen. The reality of 21st century Australia and elsewhere is that we're not immune to this type of behaviour, whether it's an act of terrorism. I wondered when I read about this whether it was a terrorist act.
We all did, didn't we? I mean, yeah. Social media went crazy with those conspiracy theories, and I think Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, did a really good job of trying to hose some of that down on social media, because the last thing we want when something like this happens is for, you know, certain populations within the community to be targeted, you know, either racially or religiously vilified as a result of the acts of one man. And the police were very clear that they did believe this was a lone wolf from early on. They wanted that out there. They didn't want the public fearing that this was terror related in terms of ideological, or that this was, you know, a cell that's been activated. But social media went mad. And I think that's the lesson there, that we have to be very cautious when information is so scant, to start drawing conclusions that are just not substantiated, because otherwise other things can snowball from there. And then in this case, it's proven to be incorrect.
You can understand it though, and I agree with you, but I think we're so hypervigilant these days to potential terror.
Well, given what's going on in the world at the moment, do you?
Absolutely. So I'm relieved it wasn't a terrorist, but the other thing, getting back to the point of training, I was incredibly impressed by the fact that shopping centres such as Westfield have very rigorous training for these sorts of events. And from what I understand is all the staff in all the shops activated their plans very effectively, and that may well have saved many lives as well.
Absolutely. The alarm went off and they all knew what they had to do and should do, and that's what was done. So, yeah, very commendable. We also know that he was known to police, but that's an interesting point too. I've been asked about that in a number of interviews today, exactly what that means. Should he be being monitored? But I think what people need to understand is, quote, known to police is such a huge category. What does that mean? You know, somebody's come to the attention of police, you know, for the most minor offence, or are we talking something much more serious and potentially violent? And again, no information is available as to that at this moment. The police are going to be building that profile, but I don't want people to jump to conclusions and say, oh, the police were deficit because he was known to them. Why weren't they watching him? Why weren't they monitoring him? Why weren't there protections in place? We just don't know enough yet.
It seems to me, and look, I'm always prepared to be corrected on these issues, but from what I've read, you have a person that has a serious mental illness, that there's a diagnosis of schizophrenia. It may well be the case that he was non-compliant with treatment and medication. We don't know enough about him, but why did he relocate from sunny Queensland to New South Wales? There's a major problem with homelessness in Australia. Mm. And, of course, this points to the real peril that people with mental illnesses suffer in terms of trying to secure safe environments to live in. And I see it in Sydney. I'm currently in Melbourne. I see it in suburbs where people are sleeping rough. We have a real problem in Australia with accommodation, and inevitably the most vulnerable in the community, including the mentally ill, and I'm not excusing his behaviour, we're just trying to look at the dynamics surrounding it, that may well have been a contributing factor to his behaviour yesterday.
And this will all come out in the fullness of time, because there will be a full investigation, obviously, not only a profile of that particular individual, but an independent investigation, because obviously a New South Wales police officer has been involved in a fatal shooting. So it will be independent of New South Wales, which is absolutely correct. But they will look at all of this. They will look at all of the factors that contributed, and I imagine make recommendations, if any are appropriate, to trying to prevent this from happening again. But you have to remember, it's so hard to prevent gun crime, knife crime, because knives are so readily available. You know, we've all got lethal weapons sitting in our kitchen drawers.
The reality is, it's a needle in a haystack, and realistically, you can't predict this type of behaviour. You would wonder if there were some prodromal signs, whether he'd expressed fantasies of violence and so on to others in his life. We don't know. But the sad reality is that these situations can erupt out of nothing if somebody is sufficiently disturbed. And I take your point about knife crime. I mean, beyond this tragedy earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, a teenage boy was murdered at a bus stop. Postcode crimes, role of social media, yep, discussed many times. And I think we need to get more serious about knife crime in this country. They've become the guns of Australia in many ways because they're so accessible. And the footage of this guy at Bondi Junction yesterday, did you see the length of the blade?
I did. It was estimated to be about 30 centimetres, apparently. I think it's going to be interesting when it's a very serious weapon. I think it's going to be interesting when we do learn more about him and his motives, because I do see a lot of rage in these crimes. You know, he went there fully intentfully to commit as much carnage as possible. And I wonder, I mean, it's hard to say here, I wouldn't want to speculate, but in crimes that I've seen like this before, there's normally been a trigger event. And I wonder what that potential trigger was in this instance, and whether that's something that could be looked at in terms of trying to prevent this from happening again. But we have a long, long way to go before we get those answers.
Well, there'll be an inquest. The other, I think, without being too clinical about it, but we've discussed this many times, violence against women. 5 of the 6 deceased yesterday are women. One of them is a mother of a 9-month-old baby. What's all that about? What are the triggering points there? And I think what you're saying, Xanth, is we need to be better resourced in the community to assist people in distress, whether it's women in distress trying to get away from violent people, or whether it's people like this person who is probably gradually deteriorating in terms of his mental state. There's not enough resources in the community to cope with mentally ill people in the community. I know as a psychologist, I hear from people, I don't treat people, I do assessment work, as you know, and a court work, but it's virtually impossible to get in to see a psychologist in under 3 to 6 months. if you have a crisis today, you can't wait 3 to 6 months. And so what tends to happen is the anger escalates and the frustration escalates, and then it can boil over in unbridled rage, as it seems to have done yesterday.
Mm. And I think we're going to have to wait for some more answers, because ultimately the police have got thousands of witnesses and some victims to speak to, hours and hours and hours of CCTV to collect from all of those shops all around Westfield. All of those stores would have had them, and also the phone images that have been collected. So they've got such a huge amount of work to wade through all of that, piecing together the timeline of what happened in the minutes, hours, days and months leading up to this event, ultimately to get to the why. And I think that's what everyone wants to know now. Why did this happen? How could this tragedy unfold somewhere like Westfield? But thank God for our first responders who did what they did, and for those heroes and heroines who were at Bondi yesterday and stopped more people being victims of this violent offender.
I think the other point worth making is we are all traumatised by this event. You know, there's vicarious PTSD going on in the Australian community now. Every time there's a mass murder like this, we're affected at some level. But I think the added dimension to this is a young mother, the beginning of her life, a baby is stabbed in a pram, four other women are murdered, a bloke's murdered, and many other people are in hospital in a precarious position. Inevitably, we're going to be affected by that. We're going to be hypervigilant to danger. We're going to have anxiety, some of us. And personally, my heart goes out to all the victims and their families. I just think it's an appalling crime.
It is absolutely appalling, and I couldn't agree more. Best wishes goes out to all of those people affected, including those vicariously, as you mentioned. This will impact a lot of people in the community and more broadly. So that was our special edition. We will, of course, bring you updates on any big events as they happen. Thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Xanthi Mallett.
And thank you for listening. I'm Tim Watson-Munro.